Jack was, I think, 16. Came to us in our school in Carlisle when I worked there for a term to learn English. He was ever so polite and friendly and settled in quite quickly as a boarder. I noticed after a few weeks that he never came to Sunday Mass. And being a Catholic or from a Catholic family, I wondered, in those days you didn't escape Mass easily. So I got a chance one time of asking him why it was that he never came with us to Mass on Sunday. And he said very simply, when I was 12, I asked God for something, and he didn't give it to me. And he left me to finish the sentence for myself. Very logical, very cut and dried. And Jesus is saying in today's gospel passage, which we've just heard, ask and it will be given to you. And also the one who asks always receives. So for Jack not to receive answers to his requests meant that he could no longer trust God's promise. Or he felt he could no longer trust God's promise. Rather than deal with the problem of why God doesn't seem to answer our prayers at times, could I perhaps say a few words about a different question to do with prayer? Why do we pray? Most people, if asked that question, would say, I pray for God's help, especially when I'm in a spot of bother. And you'll agree that, I'm sure, that's how most of us grew up, to believe in prayer, to believe about prayer. And we see that lovely pleading prayer of Abraham in the first lesson, pleading and pleading and pleading with God. As a student in Rome, way back years ago, I remember going to different churches to see their liturgies, to the Armenian church just down the road from us, where the singing was very, very beautiful and haunts me to this day. To the Russian church near St. Mary Major's, where the services went on for hours, and for most of the time, people were in tears. And to the Cistercian church at Trefontane, where we spent a lot of time in silence in the services. Prayer is singing your heart out. Prayer is a time to let the tears flow. Prayer is time to be silent before God. There are so many ways of praying. And we can have and probably grew up with a very narrow view of prayer. But can I read to you just a passage from this little book called Night by Elie Wiesel, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1986. He came from a Hungarian Jewish family, and the family were sent off to Auschwitz and Buchenwald, and there he lost his father and mother and his sister. He survived, and this is the story of his survival through the camps. And he tells how early in his life as a young boy he was interested in his religion and wanted to learn as much as he could about it, so he asked his father to get him a special teacher. And the father said, there are no real teachers here in this town. He wanted to drive the notion out of my head, but it was in vain. I found a master for myself, Moshe the Beadle, the man who looked after the synagogue. He had noticed me one day at dusk when I was praying. Why do you weep when you pray? He asked me, as though he had known me a long time. I don't know why, I answered, greatly disturbed. The question had never entered my head. I wept because of something inside me that felt the need for tears. That was all I knew. Why do you pray? He asked me after a moment. Why did I pray? A strange question. Why did I live? Why did I breathe? I don't know why, I said, even more disturbed and ill at ease. I don't know why. After that day, I saw him often. He explained to me with great insistence that every question possessed a power that does not lie in the answer. Man raises himself towards God by the questions he asks him, he was fond of repeating. That is the true dialogue. Man questions God, and God answers. But we don't understand his answers, because they come from the depth of our soul. You will find the true answer, Eli, only within yourself. And why do you pray, Moshe? I asked him. I pray to the God within me that he will give me the strength to ask him the right questions. Time to ask God the right questions. Another way of looking at prayer. And to be able to listen in the depths of our hearts for the answer. If somebody asked you, why do you pray? What would you tell them? It's maybe something that you have never had to think about. You just pray because it is the right thing to do. One answer I heard from a very holy person goes like this. I come before God in prayer and try to keep my mind focused on his presence and on his promise that he will be with us always. I come before God in prayer and try to keep my mind focused on his presence and on his promise that he will be with us always. The writer of Psalm 16 says, I have set the Lord before me at all times. So prayer is a time to set the Lord before us, not saying much, not doing anything, simply trying to be before the Lord and reminding ourselves all the time of his presence. Somebody wrote about Moses, he set the presence of God before him at all times. He believed in God's promise to be with him, and that made a difference. The difference, I suggest, it makes in our lives to keep the presence of God before us is that it gives us the strength of soul, to overcome our fears, our doubts, our frustrations, and to continue to hang in there. Prayer strengthens our inner self, and we find ourselves saying, it's going to be all right, even though it's all wrong. He will see me through. It's to him that I am ultimately accountable. And the wife or mother who feels that her family doesn't appreciate her for all that she does and wonders why she keeps working so hard to balance job, meals and the demands of being a good parent needs to remind herself that when she works so hard to keep the home together, to put good meals on the table, she's not doing it for herself. Not even doing it for her husband and children. She's doing it out of some determination to answer to God and not to compromise on the things that matter. The man who feels unappreciated at work can perhaps remind himself that he is not only working for his boss or for an organization or for his paycheck. He is also working to maintain his integrity in the eyes of God. The boy or girl who feels that they can never seem to measure up to their parents' expectations can be quite sure that in God's eyes, he or she is acceptable and loved and cherished. I remember reading about a man who used to visit his wife in nursing home every day for about a year and a half before she died. And she had Alzheimer's and didn't recognize him. And people used to say to him, why do you keep on going when she doesn't even know who you are? And he would answer, because I know who I am. Like him, you do things for people not because of who they are or what they do for you in return, but because of who you are. Many, many people draw strength from their prayer. In the responsorial psalm we read, "You increased the strength of my soul. You increased the strength of my soul." So when we come before him in prayer and spend time with him, we get the strength to go on, to go forward, not to stay where we are. Not from gratitude from the people whom we serve, but from God who leads them, who has promised to be with them. A God who, in the words of Isaiah, renews the strength of those who trust in him so that they can walk and not grow weary. And when, in spite of all the promises, we do grow weary, we know that there is someone who will dry our tears, someone who understands us deeply and holds us in the palm of his hand.